Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to another day of the news here at the Damage Report. I am John Iadarola, very lucky to be joined on what could be a historic day in political news for America by Trey Crowder. Trey, welcome back to the show.
Howdy, yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Good to be here. We'll see if any bombshells drop in my presence.
There could be. There's some birdies chirping that there might be important charges coming down the pike, but other people like Donald Trump say that it's not going to happen. So who are we to know who to trust, I suppose? Mm-hmm. But
generally,
anyway,
I would go with not him when the question
probably
is
not
who
him
to trust. But you know, we'll see.
Between him and literally any random person.
Yeah.
Yes, any random person who walks up to you on the train, I would probably go with that person. But anyway, we're gonna have updates regardless, whether there's breaking news or not, on Donald Trump and one particular area of his legal travails. But there's a lot of news outside of just that. Smokepocalypse continues over a significant chunk of America. We're gonna be talking about that. Some updates on some of the recent entrants into the Republican side of the presidential campaign with, I think, some interesting updates. I'm curious what you think about this, Trey, because here at TYT, there's like varying levels of interest in the election minutia. Like, I'm super into it. I like the drama of it and all that. I know Anna Kasparian's often not as into it. What do you think about launching into a time when there's just gonna be a lot of election related news on like kind of a daily basis?
I mean, on the one hand, I've been looking forward to Trump and DeSantis going at each other, particularly Trump embarrassing him. Like, obviously, I can't stand Donald Trump, but I do kind of enjoy when he, you know, tears DeSantis down to size. And I think there's going to be a lot of that. So it's like watching a bunch of people, you know, you can't stand drag each other through the mud is kind of fun. But I know before long, I'll be very over it. Like, way before we actually get to the election, I'll be pretty tired of it, I'm sure. But for now, sure.
Okay, let's see. We'll see. Yeah. And look, there's a lot more news besides that. We're going to be talking about dog adoption in the aftermath. That'll be fun. We talked earlier this week about one of the book ban policies catching the Bible in its net. And we predicted that some people would not be happy about that. Well, we've got an update on that story that will not shock you. But anyway, but it might be fun regardless. So with that, we're gonna launch into this thing. Along the way, please hit the like button, share the stream. If you have any desire to bring newbies into this political struggle we're engaged in, you can also send comments, super chats, all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Trey, you ready to start the show?
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Yeah, let's do this thing. Mike Pence is running for office. Sort of, in some ways, but not others. So in the some ways area, he had a town hall with CNN yesterday. It's the sort of thing that you do when you're running for office. But going like seemingly out of your way to protect the guy that you're running against is not generally what you would do if you're seriously running for office. So we're gonna run through a few examples of Mike Pence showing that he has not even like two wits of courage to rub together. Take a look at this.
You just spent a lot of time both here and earlier today explaining why you think that the former president did not uphold his oath to the Constitution. So then how can you say that you would support him if he's the nominee?
Well, because I don't think Donald Trump's going to be the nominee.
What if he
is? Republican Party. I don't think he's going to be the nominee.
What if he is?
I have great confidence in Republican primary voters.
Yeah, that's the sort of answer you give when you do not think that you have any chance whatsoever and you're not actually trying to become president. Or you're an idiot. Like, and you think that people are gonna buy that sort of presentation. You are being asked an incredibly clear, specific, and seemingly easy to answer question. You say there should be consequences for actions. What are you gonna do? I can't speculate. Maybe I won't even be like, that is just such weaselly, cowardly stuff, Trey. I hate it.
Yeah, me too. This is barely related, but I've always thought that Mike Pence looks like a murder pilgrim type, meaning like if there was a horror movie set in like the Salem witch trials and you need like an evil pilgrim character wearing one of those belt buckle hats, Mike Pence would make perfect casting for that. I think that every time he pops up. I also don't know, you mentioned like he's not seriously running for office. And I hope that that's true for his sake, because like, there's no way he's got any kind of chance, right? I mean, like the base tried to kill him. Like, I don't think they're gonna vote him into, you know, vote him into the highest office in the land. That would be quite the 180. So yeah, I don't really know how he expects this to play out. But you know, what are you gonna do?
The one potential reason they would is, well, at least then they'd know where he is, so he'd be an easy target next time around. They know which house he'd be living in, I suppose. But anyway, so she's gonna sort of press. Would you pardon him if he's charged and convicted? You become president. Super easy question to answer when you've previously stated that his actions mean that he shouldn't be president and there should be laws that nobody's, you know, outside of. But take a look at his non-answer.
Sir, if Donald Trump is convicted of a crime and you're elected president, would you pardon him?
Well, I don't want to speak about hypotheticals. I'm not sure I'm going to be elected president of the United States. But I believe we have a fighting chance. I really believe we do.
And if you are.
And I would hope, again, Dana, you're as persistent as ever. CNN is living up to its reputation.
Look, I understand that the apparently Pence supporters that they packed the room with thought that that was funny or whatever, but that is embarrassing stuff right there. You're persistent as ever in asking me these super simple questions that I refuse to answer because I refuse to engage in hypotheticals. If you're running for president and you say the sentence, "I refuse to engage in hypotheticals," that only makes sense if the next sentence is, "Oh wait, I'm running for president, and that's a thing that you have to do because it's an incredible amount of power that's going to be vested in you, and people are going to want to know what you do in certain situations." Like Trey, if he doesn't want to say something and then potentially change his mind, that weak ass thing that he just did is not even what he like. He could have gone in a different direction. He could have said, "You know, it's really going to come down to the specific charges, the specific punishment. It's possible that some charges would merit a pardon and others wouldn't." That's an easy answer. It's a reasonable answer. But he didn't even go for that. He just squirmed awkwardly, refusing to acknowledge the easy question. What do you think?
I mean, I think he obviously knows that, you know, what the actual answer to any of those questions would be. It's like when the, you know, they did this the first time around with Donald Trump. All of the other people running against him just were all over him the whole time, you know, trying to do the best they could to bring him down. But then they failed. And then after that, they all had to, you know, bend over and kowtow to him and kiss the ring and have been made fun of ever since. But it's just become sort of the norm. It's like what you have to do. And I feel like he knows that he knows he's probably going to end up in that position. So I guess he's trying to prepare for it as much as possible. But like, you know, I don't know why he's even going through the motions of running against him, considering that, you know, got to have some other motivations for this campaign, but they're beyond me.
Wanting to get out of the house a little bit, I guess.
Get away from mother.
hang out with Dana Bash. By the way, he's not going to become president. That's super clear. But let's say he did become president. Do you think that he would pardon Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. I don't know even where I stand. Like, you're totally right. He's trying to appeal to Trump fans who hate his guts and wish that he had been hanged 2 years ago, which is a weird position to be in when you're running for president. You are trying to avoid further angering them, which on its face sort of makes sense. But bear in mind, you're trying to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. So no amount of caveats are going to get them to accept you. It's the ultimate disloyalty. It doesn't matter what else you do. And like what you say, I again makes sense in that he needs to leave open the possibility of pardoning him so that, you know, Trump will like him or whatever. But Trump is never gonna, like, first of all, you're not gonna become president. And if you're not gonna become president, the only reason to run for president, or the biggest reason, would be to get into the administration. But he's not gonna bring Mike Pence back after all this. Right. So what kind of game are we playing?
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like that whole dynamic is like what everybody who runs on the right runs into at this point. Like, so much of the voting block is made up of the, you know, MAGA hat, trumpet blowing lunatics, right? That they feel like they have to appeal to them, but that's never going to work because you're never going to be him. You know, you're never going to be their actual guy who is still out there being himself. So it's like they try to both be like, oh, I'm a callback to a reasonable era of Republicans, but they know they can't win without the boogity boogity crowd. So they still do all that at the same time. And it just ends up like, you know, being noise, not making any sense.
Yeah. Before we move on to another topic, though, I just want to really demonstrate how spineless he is and how lacking in principle. And I understand that, like, he wants his whole brand to be that he's the reasonable one. He stands very upright and he does this and he like pauses dramatically, but at the end of the day, he doesn't stand for anything. That's gonna be demonstrated by the next couple of videos, because up until this point, he hasn't said what he would do if Trump got charged or whatever, but he doesn't even think he should be charged. Take a look.
I think now more than ever, we ought to be finding ways we could actually come together.
Sir, we're gonna get
and
to
this kind of this kind of action by the Department of Justice, I think would only fuel further division in the country. And let me also say, I think it would also send a terrible message to the wider world. I mean, we're the emblem of democracy. We're the symbol of justice in the world. And the serious matter, which has already happened once in New York, of indicting a former president of the United States, sends a terrible message to the world. I hope the DOJ thinks better of it and resolves these issues without an indictment.
Sir, I just want to clarify, what you're saying is that if they believe he committed a crime, they should not go forward with an indictment. You just talked before about committing to the rule of law.
Let me be clear that no one's above the law.
Okay.
Except in this case, if they think he broke the law, they shouldn't do anything about it, because it would, let me just say this, it would send a bad signal to the world. Yeah, that would be a really bad signal, telling the entire world that we have laws and we respect them, and that everyone, no matter how rich, no matter how formerly president they are, if they violate them, they will face the consequences. That would be a bad. No, he's saying to the audience, I don't think anyone should be above the law, except Trump. In this case, he should be above the law. The law doesn't matter. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, no, I agree. I don't even understand what the bad message he's saying it would send to the rest of the world is even supposed to be. Like, I don't even know what he's trying to say the rest of the world would interpret that as being, because it's so clearly the opposite. It's like, if we not indicting him when there's so much evidence of him having committed a crime, that's what would send the, you know, the type of message that would terrify the rest of the world as to what's going on in this country. Actually indicting him, if anything, would encourage the rest of the world, because they're constantly watching us where Trump is concerned and thinking, oh God, what's going to happen next? And, you know, I think they would find it reassuring if we actually tried to take some measures toward accountability. So that seems obvious to me. I don't know what he's even trying to imply in the opposite direction. So
whatever it is, it's vague.
Yeah,
it is vague. You know what sends a bad signal to the rest of the world? Trying to overthrow the government, trying to reverse the results of the election in Georgia, trying to bribe a foreign power to meddle in an election, committing crimes to cover up the hush money payments that you made in relation to an affair of yours, stealing hundreds of classified documents, and then when the government wants to come and get them, you hide them somewhere else. These are the sorts of things that in theory send negative signals to the rest of the world.
Yeah,
not what, the consequences for those.
What's funny about what you were just doing is that it, like, if given enough time to put a list together, whatever, you could have sat there doing that with that cadence and pacing for at least the whole rest of this episode, I think. And probably for like a couple of hours, like into the afternoon, I think. You're just like, you know, and this thing, and also this thing. And then because because there's so much stuff that we forget that he's done. You know what I mean? Like, you get reminded of all the things he's done. It's like, I forgot about that. The type of thing that if it was any other president would have been like the defining scandal of their career is a footnote on a footnote for Donald Trump. And like, and yet he's probably about to be the nominee again. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild.
I want to do that now. That does sound like a lot of fun.
You are so adamant about parents' rights, but in this particular case, parents who say that, along with the doctors, that what is best for their kids, what their kids feel most comfortable with doing, is a gender transition, that the parents should not be allowed to do that for their kids.
Look, this state has the obligation to see to the safety and health and well-being of the people of the state. And I accept that. I take your point.
No, it's not a point. It's a question.
What we have afoot in America is a radical gender ideology that has taken hold in our schools, has taken hold in our universities. It is afoot across the nation.
Yeah, there is no principle underlying that, except perhaps political pragmatism. He has looked out at the conservative base, and they want trans people to be like legislated, defined out of existence. They don't want them to exist. At the same time, they love the idea of parents' rights, because if you can claim that your parents' rights are being violated, then you're automatically right and we don't have to have a debate. Those two things are not consistent in this case, but let's pretend that that's not the case, because that would be more convenient. So that's what he's doing. He says, I believe absolutely in parents' rights, except I don't like it. So no, you don't get to do it. Oh, and also, by the way that I'm going to explain this is, I think the state has the duty to protect your well-being. Is that generally what conservatives think?
Right.
That the state should override, that the state, the federal state should override the state's parents, doctors. And then he immediately goes vague and broad. Gender ideology is taking over our schools. Well, hold up. We're not talking about our schools. We're not talking about Hollywood. We're talking about one family. We're talking about a mother and a dad. You say that's great. Well, they're there and they talk to their doctor and they believe this is what's best for their family. And you're saying, no, the state is going to come in and crush your parents' rights with the heel of their boot. And I think this is consistent with my ideology. That's what I just saw there, Trey. What do you think?
I mean, that's their whole thing. I feel like I believe this, except for, when it affects me personally or in a specific way in which I disagree with it, like just, formalized hypocrisy or whatever. That's their whole thing. We believe in small government, except for, when it comes to, legislating gay rights, or, we believe in parents' rights, except for when it comes to gender affirming care. We believe in, you name it, it goes on and on. But with the parents' rights thing, I've felt like it's, not made a lot of sense in any of the cases. They bring it up a lot of times because there's always parents on the other side of the issue in the same classroom, or as part of the same classroom in the school board. Do you know what I mean? Like when they it's parents' right to say that their kid shouldn't have to be taught that book or whatever, but now you're taking that book out of the curriculum of my kid too. And I don't want that to happen. I want them to be taught that in class. So it's like, what are they going to do? Like have a parents' tribunal vote on everything to determine which side has the most rights or whatever? Like, just one parent doesn't have the right to dictate, the upbringing of the entire community, which is what they seem to imply sometimes. But I think that's because they just take it for granted that everybody is on the same side as them when it comes to, at their kid's school or whatever. So.
Yeah, and they stay inside of a media bubble that reinforces for them that, if you don't agree with this, then you're a radical, despite the fact that the polls show that people support more protections for the transgender community. 100%, I agree. Okay, well, I think that's enough Mike Pence for the day, maybe for the campaign, we'll see. But anyway, I do want to move on to other candidates. Chris Christie launched his presidential campaign this week and was immediately attacked, mainly for his weight. Here he is responding to one of the most gross attacks against his weight coming from Donald Trump.
If we want to break news here today, I've struggled with my weight for about 20 years, like tens of millions of Americans.
The devil, you said.
Right, exactly. So he's
there it is. It's you. I guess he's making fun of your weight. That's his.
We're going to be small.
That's his response. What did you make of that? What was your response to that?
When I saw Jake, it just renewed in my own mind what a child he is. He's a baby. Whenever you want to criticize him in any way, that's the way he responds. And you and I are both lucky enough to be parents. And if we had a child who conducted themselves like that, we'd send them to their room, not to the White House.
Yeah.
And as you saw, he also talks about the fact that he has struggled with his weight, as, 150 million Americans do on a daily basis and have for years. He ended up tweeting, "Breaking news, I've struggled for 20 years. What I haven't struggled with is my character. I'll put that up against Donald Trump's any day. If that's the best he's got, then he's lost his fastball." I don't know that his character is necessarily unimpeachable, though. Some people have some big issues with his time as governor. But anyway, what I'm curious from you, Trey, he's seemed to be indicating that the voters are not going to be won over by these attacks against his weight. If this is the best you've got, then that's not good enough. But I'm not sure, actually, on the Republican side. I don't think it should be effective because so many Americans, and thus so many Republican Americans, are themselves overweight or obese. But that doesn't mean that they won't find it to be an effective attack against someone that they think is worthy of mockery. I don't know. What do you think?
I completely agree. I mean, their God Emperor Donald Trump is obese, or close to it. You know what I mean? He's definitely overweight. It doesn't matter that he is or that many of them are. They'll totally eat it up. They love that type of thing. They love when Donald Trump makes childish middle school insults and hurls them and whatnot. They'll start, picking them up and lobbing them at Christie themselves. It's absolutely going to work. And with Trump, maybe they literally can't see the type of shape that Trump is in, because anytime they do like a painting or a cartoon or something of Trump, he's got like washboard abs and is like stiff arming Nancy Pelosi at the goal line to score a touchdown or whatever, or riding on an eagle, firing an assault rifle into the sky in front of an American flag or that type of thing. So that's like how they see him. So maybe that plays into it somehow. But yeah, no, they'll eat it up, for lack of a better phrase.
Anyway, I think he's got to defend himself, so I'm glad that Chris Christie did that. If this is an opportunity for us as a country to think a little bit about how common and casual those jokes are, I think that's fine. I do not expect that it's going to win over a lot of people, though. And that thought is reinforced by the fact that the tweet that I showed you of Chris Christie's, the replies to it. Okay, so he got a reply from this memes account that says, if you struggle with food intake, how are you going to run the country and resist temptations involving corruption and selling us out? Now, I understand that they are not making a serious point because they are constitutionally incapable of making serious points. But what the hell do those have to do with each other? By the way, again, if this is the logic you want us to use to evaluate candidates, then why are you not worried about Donald Trump's corruption? Because he clearly doesn't eat, just kale and, chickpeas. Like, again, it doesn't make any sense. But if this is what you believe, then also, by the way, I just love the casual insults against appearance from someone who, despite having a relatively large following, has a cartoon frog as their avatar. I personally think if you go online and you want to be attacking Chris Christie's weight, that's fine. But in your tweet, attach a photo of your gut. Because you believe that people's moral value is tied to their waist circumference. So let's see your amazing V taper. Let's see that little six pack washboard abs you got. Let's see your cut lines, buddy. Why don't we see those? How many people would be comfortable showing a photo of their abs on Twitter today and yet do feel comfortable slamming Chris Christie for not matching up with some insane concept of male beauty that they would never even hope to achieve? Anyway, by the way, I want to just read one other tweet just because this one's actually kind of funny. You've struggled with your character too, Bridgegate, abandoning Trump after the Access Hollywood tape came out. Well, hold up. Why are those two things being compared? Yeah, Bridgegate is a great response to him claiming his character is great. But him not liking Donald Trump saying he gets to sexually assault women reflects poorly on Christie, but not Trump? Don't understand it, Trey. I don't understand. Our political culture is so gross.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, if you're not my guy or with my guy, and for these people, their guy is Donald Trump, then you're just, wrong, no matter how logically inconsistent that may be. If you disagree with me on one particular thing, like you said earlier, then, you're incorrect. You're radicalized. They literally, I've seen people like that tweet, you see the radical left trying to do this, despite the fact that 95% of Americans agree that, insert conservative talking point here. And it's like, that's of course completely untrue, but they genuinely believe it somehow. And it's like they think the entirety of the 5% of, radical woke leftists,
you know, that's made up by the number of people they see on Twitter saying things I disagree with or on MSNBC or whatever, and that everyone else out in the real world is on their side. It's like, it's deranged, you know,
yeah.
It's completely delusional. And I don't know what we're supposed to do about any of it. So.
I don't know. We're trying to get through. We're trying to nudge things in the right direction, but it is tough. It's tough. Okay. With that said, we're going to take the first break of our hour. When we come back, Donald Trump might be being charged with more crimes soon. We'll check in after this. Okay, everybody, let's jump into some fun stuff. Federal prosecutors have apparently informed Donald Trump and his legal team that he is a direct target in the investigation into his handling of classified documents. And that is a very significant development in this case. Even though we can pause for 1 second and say, well, yeah, he's a direct target. He's the guy that did it. What would it mean for him not to be a direct target? He stole all this stuff and like the valet just goes to jail? I kid, but that's actually how most of his legal troubles have worked out in practice. His lawyers and his aides have gone to jail and he's been fine. In this particular case, it's not looking like that. In fact, according to The Independent, the DOJ is preparing to ask a Washington, D.C. grand jury to indict him for violating the Espionage Act and for obstruction of justice as soon as Thursday. Hey, wait a second. Today's Thursday. It could happen today. It could happen right now. In fact, I'm gonna Google. No, it doesn't look like it's happening, but we will let you know if it does happen. In the meantime, prosecutors are ready to ask grand jurors to approve an indictment against Mr. Trump for violating a portion of the US criminal code known as Section 793, which prohibits, quote, gathering, transmitting, or losing any information respecting the national defense. Now, that seems pretty arcane, and you might be wondering, why are you being so specific with that? Well, because this specific provision is actually really important in the context of this months-long investigation. This is, after all, about classified documents, right? And so much of the discussion since the raid on Mar-a-Lago has been about classification and declassification. Did it happen? When does it happen? How does it happen? Can you do it with your mind? Well, what if I told you that all of that is utterly irrelevant to the charges that they're considering? Under Section 793, there's no reference to classified information. And thus, going in that route is understood to be a strategic decision by prosecutors so that all of his different claims about supposedly declassifying the documents is irrelevant. This is not about whether they were classified or declassified. It's simply about the content that he had taken from the White House. And so, Trey, if they go in this direction, I don't know if maybe that results in less serious charges. I honestly don't know. I'm not a lawyer, obviously. Look at me. But it does seem like a good strategy.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was about to bring up to you and ask you, but you already clarified that you don't know either. My first thought is like, is that like, you know, giving up on the larger charges to go for something lesser because they think they got a better chance of making it stick? In which case, like, you know, I'm all for making whatever stick you can, but if it ends up as too much of like a slap on the wrist, that's kind of a bummer. But I definitely, you know, I'm sure they know what they're doing. I'm not a lawyer either, but yeah, I bet he's fuming over it because it's the whole time it's been like, oh, that president can declassify whatever he wants. If I have something and I want to have it, then I'm allowed to have it because I was president and you know, you don't get to say otherwise. And I don't, that's such a wild cockamamie sounding thing to present as like a defense in an actual courtroom, but like it was given credence, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you might have something here or whatever. So for them to just like subvert that entirely and be like, yeah, that doesn't matter because we're doing this instead. You know, he's got to be frothing over it, which I'm at least down for that. But yeah, I'm not really clear on the sort of like implications of doing this. I mean, they're giving up on the classified part entirely for good. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe other charges will also be coming. I honestly don't know. Again, I don't know the potential, you know, jail term or consequences under a violation of the Espionage Act. But if I had to put my money down, violating the Espionage Act, it doesn't sound like nothing. It sounds like something. So we'll see. Maybe we'll know later on today. For now, we really do expect that the charges will be coming soon. Not necessarily today. That is what some people think. But it is always considered when you let, you know, the person that you're targeting know that they're a target. That is considered a pretty late stage part of this process. It usually triggers the ability of your defense team to provide sort of your side of the story. Of course, in this case, that's been going on for some time, but it's still a part of it. Trey and I were talking before the show debating, like, you would think with how vocal Donald Trump is on social media about everything that happens to him and plenty of things that don't, that you wouldn't want to warn him too long before the charges, because then he would have an opportunity along with all of his allies in the media to write the narrative of it. But it is the DOJ. They mess things up constantly when it comes to Donald Trump. So I'm honestly not sure. Trey, any final predictions when it comes to timeline?
I mean, like you said, it would make more sense for it to be very soon, because, you know, you don't want to give Donald Trump too much time to, you know, work in the opposition publicly. But, you know, it's the DOJ, it's our government at work and everything. So I'm inclined to expect the opposite of what really makes sense. So I think maybe it'll be a bit longer yet. Gun to my head, not today, but we'll see.
Not today. Okay, I'll take today. We'll see who wins.
Yeah.
In any event, you predicted that Trump would be fuming, and we have a little bit of evidence to that effect. How does Donald Trump feel about the fact that he's being targeted in the classified documents thing, that he might be indicted soon? Well, he would have you believe that this isn't really a topic at all, or would he? It depends on how you ask him. So when the New York Times contacted him and asked him directly if he'd been told that he would be indicted, he said, "It's not true." But when asked if he had been told he's a target of a federal investigation, he didn't respond directly, saying, quote, "You have to understand he hasn't been in direct touch with prosecutors." He then repeated that it's not true that he was told he will be indicted. So have you been in touch or haven't you? By the way, all this is pointless. We know that he has. Maggie Haberman and her team have already said that his allies are saying they talked to the DOJ. And then he goes on more defensively on Truth Social to say, "No one has told me I'm being indicted, and I shouldn't be because I've done nothing wrong, but blah, blah, blah," all of his past scandals or whatever. So he's gone on record as going on the record as it is when you bleat something out, that he has not been told that he will be indicted. But remember, before the charges in the hush money payments, he came out with a message a few days before they were supposed to arrive and said he's going to be arrested on Monday, I think it was, which was not only didn't happen, but also apparently was never planned to happen. So he already has a recent demonstrated strategy of trying to throw things off by throwing misinformation out there. So I don't even know what direction that would be pointed in this case. I don't know what to make of his message that says he's not being indicted, except that, as we talked about earlier, you definitely shouldn't just trust him. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, yeah, I feel like he would say that regardless. And then when he is indicted, he'll just be like, "It's a sham that I've been indicted." And it's also reading to that Truth Social thing reminded me of what we were talking about earlier when you started to list off his various scandals or whatnot. Like, he does it himself. And it's just so wild that his supporters read all that and they sit there nodding their heads like, yep, he has been the subject of all of these various witch hunts throughout the course of his political career. You know what I mean? Like, it's so wild. Like, it's never happened to any other politician on either side in this country ever, but they believe genuinely that, you know, it's just been made up scandal after made up scandal when it comes to Donald Trump, I guess because they think he's the like lone arbiter of the truth and thus must be silenced by his opposition, you know, through any means necessary. It's such a crazy thing to believe, because you look at it and you're like, how can you just shake off all this wrongdoing and vote for him anyway? But like, they genuinely believe that it's all made up despite, you know, any amount of evidence to the contrary. It's wild.
Before we move on to another topic, can I just, like, for any big Trump fans in the audience that believe all of this stuff, you believe that it's all a witch hunt, it's all made up, all of this from like AGs in Georgia and people in New York and the parties, and it's all made up, all of it. And you believe far crazier stuff than that. You believe that Joe Biden is a robot or a clone or a lizard or whatever. They can do all of this, and they'll do all of this to stop Trump from getting into office. But they won't do one thing that in theory they could do. Why don't they kill him? They do false flags constantly, according to you. They shoot up schools, they shoot up churches, they shoot up airports. Why don't they just kill Trump? Why don't they just have some crazy Antifa plant murder him? But it's really them. It's the CIA, it's the FBI or whatever. Why don't they do that? If they're willing to go to these great lengths to stop Trump from being in office. It's a serious question. Obviously, you know, this is hypothetical. They shouldn't, there's no they, and nothing should happen. I don't support political violence. But if they'll go to all these lengths, why haven't they killed him?
They might tell you that they've tried, and Trump is just too much of an operator, you know, too much of a maybe competent operator to allow that to happen. He's thwarted multiple assassination attempts already. He's too suave, too savvy, and so that's why. Also, whenever he does, I've thought before, because he's old and in bad health, like eventually at some point he is going to die, and like if it's any time in the remotely near future, like, I bet they're going to be saying that, like, no matter what happens, you know, he could stroke out on live television during a debate or whatever, and they'll still be saying that it was the deep state, you know, hit him with a heart attack gun from across the room or whatever, you know. So, I mean, they will. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Trey's 100% right. Everyone get ready for that. Okay, with that said, I think we're going to take our second break just a little bit early. We're going to come back. There's chaos in the air across much of the country. We're going to touch base with it after this. Okay, everybody, we're running low on time. Why don't we jump right into it? There's currently hell going on across a lot of this country, almost literally, certainly in appearance. The air quality has plummeted across hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of America, thanks to an insane combination of the prevailing winds and literally hundreds of wildfires going on in Canada. And it is serious stuff, despite the efforts of some in the media to make light of the situation. Early data suggests this is the worst air quality event in New York City since records began in 1999. It's among the most dire for wildfire pollution ever seen in the US. Since Tuesday, New York City and Detroit have recorded some of the world's worst air pollution levels ever recorded due to fires. This is serious because wildfire smoke, when present in high concentrations at ground level, as it is in many parts of the country right now, can cause serious health complications, especially for the elderly and people with heart ailments or asthma. It has been a very bad few years for people with pre-existing conditions and comorbidities, and that's what we're experiencing right now. Tens of millions of people have been placed under air quality cautions. The US has sent 600 firefighters and support personnel to assist Canada in fighting the wildfires. Nearly 250 were burning as of yesterday. I don't know the numbers for today, but that is very serious. So bad that the FAA warned this morning that they might be slowing down flights from New York, Philadelphia, and DC due to low visibility from the smoke. And you can see here, there's an ongoing tracker in different cities on the New York Times showing the level of the pollution in different areas. If you're living in those areas, please refer to these. Don't spend any more time outside or with your nose and mouth uncovered than you need to. There's predictions going on about how things are going to develop. You can see in this map over time. It looks like maybe we'll be out of immediate danger within a day or so, but you know, it's impossible to say. More wildfires could be lit or could spread in Canada. We could have a resurgence of this, but anyway, slice it, Trey, it's pretty devastating out there. Both of us are LA based, but we've been affected by air quality from wildfires before.
Yeah, I was about to say, so we're kind of used to it, you know, feels like it happens every year. It was part of the culture shock for me moving out here is walking outside and seeing like ash falling or whatever. It's like, okay, should I get everything and leave? Like, what's happening? They're like, no, this is, you know, this happens every year around this time. But it does get worse each year. It's wild to me the people that seem to imply that we just shouldn't care or that it isn't worse. You know, there's so many people out there like, yeah, well, I mean, the world just burns sometimes. What are you going to do? Like, just go to work, breathe smoke like a man and shut up. You know what I mean? It's like, it's such a wild thing to tell people that they shouldn't care about. You know what I mean? It's especially wild to me coming from like the right, because like I'm from the South. A lot of people on the right in the South, obviously, and a lot of those people ostensibly love like the great outdoors because that's where all the things that they like to shoot live, right? And so, you know, but they love like the lake and the woods and all that stuff. But they're also like, if you let it be known that you're worried about those things being polluted or destroyed or set on fire, you know, or being lost to climate change, they call you, you know, an alarmist and tell you to stop believing the lies of big weather. That's the other thing I don't understand. Who's supposed to be on the other end of the conspiracy that makes climate change a hoax? I just don't. It should be the most obvious thing that brings us all together, I would think, is like to prevent the world we all live on from dying. Yeah, but it's not. That's been politicized too, and it's something else.
I mean, you would think, you look out, you see how bad the air is. Well, okay, it's clearly time that we have some sort of conversation about the environment and about climate. And look, this isn't directly related to climate, but it is indirectly related to climate, because when things are hotter and things are drier, wildfires are more common, and when they happen, they're worse. You don't routinely have 250 wildfires in Canada, and you know, God only knows in 10 years how many that'll be, how many acres it'll be. It's something to talk about. On the other hand, you could be led to believe by crazy people on the internet that this is the deep state's plan to keep you indoors so that you don't go to the theater and watch Fast X and see traditional masculinity on display. I don't know, some stupid BS. That's probably what's really going on.
And while Americans choke on the smoke, the far left smells an opportunity. AOC thinks this is a great time to push her Green New Deal. She says that we must, quote, adapt our food systems, energy grids, infrastructure, and healthcare to prepare for what's to come. Other Democrats are pumping up climate hysteria and bringing back, you guessed it, mask insanity.
I wear my mask in solidarity. Climate change is not a hoax. We're not only seeing the haze from these fires, we're also feeling it in our very own lungs.
The work to protect our climate is far from over, and we're dangerously behind.
It's only getting worse, but this is why the president has made climate change a priority. This is why he's taken the aggressive actions that he's taken, historic actions.
We added in those people so that you'd have a little bit of reasonable in the video. I love Pirro's like self-satisfied, and now they're pushing for, you guessed it, mask insanity. Yeah, but do you know why they guessed it? It's because it's smoke in the air. It's easy to think, oh, I guess you should probably wear a mask so that you're not breathing in smoke. How is this still a culture war thing? Are you gonna fry your lungs to own the libs? Is that really what you're gonna do, Trey? What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, only soy boys are worried about breathing smoke anyway. Like I said, you know, just breathe it like a man. You know, my papa breathed smoke all the time. He turned out fine. I mean, you know, he died before 70. But you know, yeah. Well, this is just the feminizing of the American man. They don't even want to breathe smoke anymore. That's what it's come to. I think that they should set more things on fire and force people to walk through the smoke at the age of 8, breathing it. To learn how to be tough and red blooded. Yeah, I don't know. It's so dumb. Their willingness to self harm in order to own the libs. It's they found that groove during COVID and have been riding it ever since. It's pretty funny.
You know how like they do that thing, or at least they used to do that thing where they would like roll coal on their big trucks.
I definitely think they're still doing that.
Probably.
Yeah.
But like the thing they would do is they would drive in front of a Prius because screw that person for caring about the environment.
Yeah.
And then they would flood their car with smoke and make them breathe it. Mm-hmm. The idea being that, look, I just owned you by making you breathe smoke. Fast forward a couple of years. Now I should breathe the smoke to own you. Mm-hmm. Man, they're devolving fast.
Yeah.
They're treating themselves now like Prius drivers. Anyway, let's go to a little bit more of the insane attempt to spin this environmental issue here.
By the way, what were those two young, healthy people doing with a mask?
Double masking, by the way. They were double masked. You know, I think a lot of people, they were comparing today the air quality to places like New Delhi and Qatar, but those are places that experience over pollution year round.
Yeah, but now it's here. It's not like, oh my God, I can't breathe, but this isn't as bad as New Delhi, so I guess I'll abstain from masks. What is those two people wearing? What are those people wearing masks for? It's smoke in the air. They're not all in fancy air-conditioned TV studios, Sean. They're out there walking in a cloud of smoke and they don't want to breathe it. None of this should need to be explained. And the overall point of look at them trying to make this about the environment and healthcare. Well, you know, the environment's on fire and there's smoke filling the airs and people need healthcare to deal with the fact that this is wrecking their health. Like, if you're gonna say they're using this issue and you want that to seem irrational, you have to actually explain why that's irrational and not like, oh, look, there was a shooting. Now they're talking about guns. Yeah, that makes sense because they're related. Any final thoughts, Trey?
I just think that, did you see, what was that movie? Don't Look Up. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Adam McKay movie, mm-hmm. Don't Look Up. I just think about that throughout this whole segment here. You know what I mean? Where the meteors come in, they spend the whole time being like, well, there's no reason to alarm people. Or, but you know, it was very spot on, I feel like. And you see it played out all the time. And it's alarming. So you're about to have a kid. Do you have kids already?
In a few months.
Yeah. Right. We'll be ready to, you know, to ratchet up the terror scale on a personal level when it comes to this type of thing or thinking about the future. Because I have children too. And I, you know, this is the kind of thing that keeps you up at night. The fact that so many people just don't care. And it may already be too late. So that's fun. But we'll see.
That's fun. We're in the post-apocalyptic part of the damage for today. Okay. Well, we have a few more minutes. Why don't we jump into the D block? We'll close up the hour with that.
We haven't had half as many hearings about guns as we've had on voting rights. And every time we seemingly have a hearing on voting rights, we're talking about the fact that people are cheating. So let's talk about who's cheating. I got a few articles. Are you familiar with the fact that there was recently a settlement with this little news company called Fox News?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was for about $780 million. Was it because they were lying about the elections?
Yes, it was for a.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I remember that one actually. That was pretty big. They were lying about the elections, but this isn't just about massive corporations trying to cover up for what actually happened in the election. Representative Jasmine Crockett there actually has quite a few regular voters who were doing the actual cheating in the election. Take a look at this.
I'm running out of time, so I'm gonna keep going. There also was this article, because I don't want us to base anything on Georgia at all. Please, Jesus, not Georgia. Okay, because Georgia purged 87,000.
Will the gentlewoman yield? I think Georgia matters.
I will not yield. I am reclaiming my time. All right, so there were 87,000 people that were purged that were legitimate voters. So no, we don't want to copy off of Georgia. Also, another GOP voter admits he committed fraud. Another one in Pennsylvania, man who admits he voted for Trump with his dead mom's name because he listened to too much propaganda.
The gentlelady's time has expired.
Yeah, that was good. Look, we've covered a lot of those stories. Representative Jasmine Crockett is totally right. This is yet another case where the GOP loves to talk about things in the abstract that they are not remotely interested in specifics. They say that they care about pedophiles or whatever, but when all of these prominent people in religion and politics are actually outed for doing these sorts of things, you don't hear a single thing about it from them. They're also very interested in election integrity, but all those different stories, and we could list dozens and dozens more that Representative Jasmine Crockett was talking about, they're not so interested in that. They don't care about the people who are purged, Trey. Marge isn't going back to Georgia and be like, I have high standards for Georgia and we can never let this happen again. They don't actually care.
No, I mean, what's that? I've seen on the internet before, GOP stands for gaslight, obstruct, project, you know, which I find to be a pretty accurate, you know, descriptor. So, I mean, yeah, the voter fraud thing, they yell about voter fraud from the left, which is something that barely ever, if ever, happens while actively trying to, you know, restrict the voting rights and abilities of, you know, so many Americans in a bald-faced effort to cheat to win elections, basically, and then, you know, scream about voter fraud. So it's kind of sums them up, I feel like.
100%. Yeah, and also, look, I'll even be fair, I'll balance it out. There were lots of instances where conservatives cheated, like you voted using relatives things or voted twice or whatever. And anyone who did that intentionally, I think, should suffer some sorts of consequences. But I will also say, I don't particularly care because it didn't change the election. Let's be clear about that. The fake election fraud that didn't actually happen that they're talking about obviously didn't switch the election. The real election fraud also did not impact the results of the election because it's so rare. So let's put things in perspective. Okay, that's all the time we have for the first hour. We'll be back for more after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.